This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's Wednesday, 23rd of August. I'm Lara Dickinson. Welcome to The Informer. On tonight's show, we're talking to two media representatives about the role they play in the ongoing marriage debate and the responsibility of media outlets to fairly represent both sides. We'll be hearing from Joel Ellen about Adelaide's recently established Queer Cultural Centre. But first, we take a step back in time with Graham Willett, a historian from the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, also known as ALGA. As the debate for same-sex marriage heats up, we're seeing both positive and negative print media get a run online, in the papers and on the streets. Reason and Revolt is a website dedicated to digitising Australia's radical print media, and Graham joined Daniel to discuss all the different characters from Australia's radical past and the long history of the fight for marriage equality.
Graham Willett from the Australian Lesbian Gay Archives, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
Glad to be here.
Graham, let's start with Reason in Revolt. What is Reason in Revolt?
So it's a project that began way back in 2004. Verity Bergman, who was then at Melbourne, is now at Monash University, got some funding to start the process of digitising documents from Australia's radical history. So everything really beginning with Eureka Stockade and coming right up to as close to the present as they can get. Recently, they've just uploaded a couple of hundred documents from the Australian Lesbian Gay Archives looking at Australia's radical queer history.
And why, in terms of radical, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Essentially, it's in the context of the time. It looks at what kind of demands were being put on society, at aspects of society to change in a kind of progressive direction, which was kind of everything that the gay and lesbian movement originally has been doing. So it's about demanding fairness, and justice, transformation, up to and including revolution.
And so is this sort of a sister project to the Australian Lesbian Gay Archives?
No, the Archives collects and preserves, celebrates Australia's queer history. So when Reason and Revolt were looking for documents that they could digitise, they came to us because we've got the best collection and for a lot of this stuff, the only collection of the kind of materials they were looking for.
So looking back, obviously now we're in a time that where same-sex marriage has a huge amount of momentum behind it. If you were to flick back through the archives, how long have we been fighting for this?
Well, fighting for is an interesting kind of question. As an idea, it's been floating around since the origins of the movement. And in which you can see newsletters and talking about it in the 50s. In Australia, the movement emerges in 69 and 70. And then it was an idea, it was on the list. But really people saw repealing the laws as more important, laws against male sex, and then laws against discrimination. People would occasionally float the idea that, you know, one day we'll want marriage, and mostly people would laugh about this. It seemed so impossible that it might ever come to that.
So flicking through, I came across a name, which is an interesting name. His name's David Widdup. Do you want to tell me about him?
Yeah, he was somebody I flicked through. I came across when I was going through the other day. He was a member right from the start of the earliest gay rights organisation in Australia, which is called CAMP, Campaign Against Moral Persecution.
Just say that again.
Campaign Against Moral Persecution.
And is that the origin of the word camp, is how we know it now?
No, it's the other way around.
Right.
I reckon they sat down over a great... Well, in fact, we know they sat down over a great big bottle of scotch and decided to found this organisation. And at one point, I imagine them thinking, OK, let's start with camp and work backwards. What might it stand for? So what was intended to be just this little media monitoring group, really. They would write outraged letters to the editor when gay people were misrepresented. They got interviewed by The Australian, of all people. You know, at that stage, The Australian was quite a liberal newspaper. And amongst the people who saw that article and got in touch was David Widdup. So he wasn't one of the very first people, but he was in that first wave. He wrote for Camp Inc., which was Camp's newsletter. He was a kind of organiser. So he came to Melbourne to found... It was founded in Sydney. He came to Melbourne to found the Sydney branch. In 1972, he stood for federal election in the seat of the then Prime Minister, William McMahon.
Wow, that must have been quite outrageous.
It was. Obviously, he didn't expect to get elected, but he wanted to draw attention to the organisation and actually having known David Auto to himself, but to the organisation, to the demands of the emerging gay movement. So he stood as he as an openly gay candidate and as a member of CAMP. McMahon was widely rumoured, is probably the best word to say, rumoured to be homosexual, a closeted homosexual man. So when David stood in the seat as the only self-declared homosexual candidate, he was sending out a message in a most coded but outrageous kind of form to the rest of the world. His slogan was, "I've got my eye on Billy's seat."
Wow.
He got, I don't know, 275 votes or something, but it lives on in the memory, you know, all these years later.
Totally. That's amazing. Like you said, while marriage equality was something that was talked about, maybe even just as an idea, what the fight really was for back then was the legalization of homosexuality. Let's talk about that and how these documents that we have now digitized in Reason for in Revolt, how they help that process.
Yeah, what you can see looking at the documents is a reminder that, in fact, it is an idea that's been floating around since the 70s. In the 90s, CAMP, for example, wanted to do two things. It wanted to change the laws against homosexuality. It also wanted to change public attitudes. And in that sense, it tended to be a reasonably respectable organisation, although merely to say that you're a homosexual publicly at that time was to go beyond the bounds of respectability. So when John and Christabel, who were the founders, used their full names in The Australian, they had their photo published, they were already pushing well beyond what was acceptable.
So John and Christabel were the original founders of CAMP Inc.
That's right, yeah. Mm.
So that was quite amazing to actually put your name and photo down as someone who was out and proud as a homosexual.
It's pretty much the first time anybody had ever done it in Australia.
In Australia.
You know, people had been outed a little bit before that, but they had chosen to do this and had realised it was important to be public and unashamed. You know, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We're happy to have our names, our photos published.
Really to sort of say, hey, we're here, there's nothing wrong, everything that you've read that is against us is actually false.
That's right, and that's what they kept hammering away at. It wasn't just about law reform. It was about changing attitudes, which is why almost the first thing they start doing is publish a newsletter, or a magazine, actually, you know, 20, 30 pages.
Looking back, what sort of backlash did these people and publications receive compared to what we see now in the media or on social media in in distaste or for what we're fighting for?
I mean, the absence of social media at the time, which, you know, might seem like a burden for them, but they didn't know they had. In fact, a lot of the worst things would have been said over dinner parties or in private conversations. Nowadays, they all appear on social media. The backlash tended to be, for example, William and John got prosecuted for obscenity because of the naked men. In the end, the case all kind of fell over, but so did the magazine. So it was quite destructive in that sense. Controversy tended to be played out in the press, really. The broadcast media didn't really want to talk about this stuff, although they were quite happy to interview people like John and Christabel. But the debate tended to be kind of this side and that side rather than the kind of vitriolic stuff that we see in social media.
And so where can people find ALGA and how can they support it?
Okay, so ALGA exists. Well, currently we're packing up because we have to move because of the turmoil around things at the moment. So we're moving, although we'll be open again in a couple of months. We have a website, of course, alga.org.au. And if you're interested in the documents, the thing about the Reason Revolt thing is that all the documents are PDFs. So if you decide you want to know about the Gay Liberation Manifesto from 1972 or that letter you were talking about marriage, you get onto reasoninrevolt.net.au. Poke around and you'll find that and all sorts of other things. There's something like 200 documents.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can find them on Twitter as well.
Ah, well done.
Yeah. All right, well, Graeme Willett, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.